Still, no, right? So that's like a, right? That's a whole lifelong growth process. That's Hashem decreed this, and how long it lasts, who knows, right? But every moment, I have to try and think it's going to finish tomorrow or finish today, right? This is it. But right, and it's tomorrow is going to be quite different. And tomorrow comes and it's still the same. And then I still have to write. I have to still get up in the morning and think, no, tomorrow's going to be different. Because at some point it changes. At some point. Lean in, right?
Either
it or you, right? But no, but we some things are that way and we don't know. Like if a child is couple, doesn't have kids, in their entire lives they don't have kids. And every day they're praying for kids, right? And that's their tikkun. Like the Lubavitcher Rebbe, he for sure prayed for kids. For sure he prayed for kids. And he never had any kids, right? Mm. So it's not because he wasn't a big enough tzaddik, and it's not because he didn't pray enough, and it's not because he didn't do enough mitzvahs, and it's not because he had any aveiras in his past, right? That Hashem was punishing him or says whatever, and he didn't make teshuvah enough, right? And if he would have made more teshuvah, it would have helped. No. We see from that sometimes there's a gazelle. And doesn't matter, it's not your person's fault, nothing you did, nothing you didn't do, nothing you could, right? That's just how it's gonna be, right? Why? So some tick on that we don't know. That's what Hashem decreed. But there are other people who are also childless for 10, 15, 20 years and then they get a child. And a person never knows which camp he's in. Am I in the Machon Mendel Lubavitcher Rebbe camp and I'm never going to get kids and that's just my tikkun, and when I get to Olam Haba, they're going to explain to me why it needed to be that way and I'm going to agree with it and I accept it, very nice. Alright? Or is it going to be that actually no, tomorrow after 10, 15 years it is going to change and I went through what I needed to go through, I fixed what I needed to fix, like whatever. And we don't know. We don't know, there's no way of knowing. That's the life Hashem gives us. We have to believe that whichever one it is, it's right. I tell you personally, right? We Baruch Hashem, we merited to have two beautiful girls. But my youngest girl now is 11. So for 11 years we've been praying for more kids, and we have had two girls. 11 years we've been praying for more kids. I have brothers, segulas, kevas, everything, right? It's not happening. I don't know if I'm ever going to have any more kids. Maybe next week I will, right? I just don't know. My job is not to get you to get sad and to whatever. You know, there's ups and downs, and some, you know, times you go to a friend's bris and it's like, alavai, it's tough. But, and other stuff, and who knows? So it's as whichever way it turns out is what was best for me. It's exactly what I needed. I might think I'd do nicely with a few boys, whatever. Be nice, according to my opinion. Sounds good. No. But I don't know why, and I don't know why Hashem is not giving that to me.
My parents had nieces 12 years into their marriage, 2 years after they adopted my sister.
Right. That happens a lot. That also happened with Gedalia. You know Gedalia?
Mm-hmm.
He in the class. He had the same. Roughly 10-11 years. No kids. They adopted. And then she became pregnant after.
Yeah.
So Tov, but Hashem fixes tikkunim. We don't know, right? We don't know why it needs to be like that. We don't know why, right? And we don't know if it's going to change. But it could do. But it definitely can do. So our job is to know it can. To know it can.
Okay.
To always have hope that it can change. Right? Because that's our emunah. Our emunah is not that Hashem is going to change it. He might not. It's his choice.
Right.
It's his choice. But he can change it. If I think there's no hope, no way, so then I'm limiting Hashem. Right? I can't decide to limit Hashem. Hashem's decided now. I see clearly it's not going to happen. How do I know? It's up to Hashem. Hashem can do anything. At any time. He can do it. And that's my job, my emunah, is to believe in that. Believing in Hashem and His power to do anything, whenever He wants. To know it's in His power. Whether or not it will happen, well, and my second job is to try and be happy with that. Happy with that situation.
Even if it's a secret, let's say somebody in the said, let's say, whatever the situation is, that was a secret, and the Shem still hasn't, there was a decree that didn't happen.
Right.
So, to stay happy no matter what.
Nachon, because he knows that that's his tikkun, and that he's fixing his neshama through that. That's why he came down into the world. I came down into the world just for this. And that I've completed my task in the world. A person to complete his tikkun is no small object. Right? That's why we keep Gilgulim every time. Right? Because we don't complete our tikkun. But to know that I'm completing my tikkun by going through this and being happy with it, B'ezrat Hashem, as much as I can. It's not obvious, it's not hot, it's not easy. Right? My job is to accept. Right? Then I'm cleaning up everything and I'm yalla, olam haba. Thank you. You know, is
the tikkun may not be what we think it is. The tikkun could be something.
Could be, right, but it's likely that a person who has to struggle with something for a long period of their time in their life,
okay,
that is their tikkun. I mean, that's like just a major part of a person's life. That's what's going on. That's their tikkun.
So that's the bigger the issue, to take it one day at a time, to keep.
Just to keep hope.
To keep going, to be patient with the results.
Right.
When
Rav Nachman said, "Ein ya'ush ba'olam," there's no despair in the world.
Right.
That's kind of a central. He's trying to teach us that there is no despair. It doesn't exist because there's always Hashem. Like, Hashem is real. Despair is not real. Despair is an imagination made up when I get fed up and I get sad and I get annoyed and that's it. Right? It's not real though, because there is no despair. Because Hashem can change anything anytime. So it's like it's something that's not true. There is no despair. I think there's despair. The truth is there is no despair. And if I were to live in the world of truth, then the living in the world of the truth is to know the truth. The truth is there's no despair. There's always hope.
Right.
That's truth. And living in the world of despair is living in the world of sheker, because it doesn't exist. There's no such thing that a person can give up, that there's no hope. It's not real. It's like a false idea. To give up hope is a false idea. It's like living in a land of sheker. Doesn't exist. There's always hope. There's always possibility of that Hashem can do anything whenever He wants. If I want to live in the world of truth, that's knowing that there's always hope. Always. Yeah. Okay. Terrified in the blink of an eye.
Yes.
Right, as I'll say, was terrifying. The blink of an eye, everything can change. Everything can change everything. Right? And it's that kind of stuff that's hidden. All the solutions always come from things that are hidden from us. Hashem is able to hide from us a solution that's in front of our face, if He wants to. Right? The solution can be sitting there in front of our face, right? And it's completely hidden until Hashem is ready to reveal it. And when Hashem is ready to reveal it, how didn't I see that? It was there, it was obvious, right in front of me. Because Hashem was testing me and waiting, and then when the time is right, He's going to show. But right now, I just can't see it, but that's fine.
So the first thing is to strengthen the emunah, the das, the optimistic.
To be happy with the situation.
To channel the yetzers, you're finished, you're through, you're not getting the tikkun, you're done with. You watched it as a major thing, all the different things that come. The bigger the issue, the bigger the issue, the bigger the let's say the eight.
But if it's something I've dealt with over a long time, then usually the yetzer is very familiar.
Right,
because it's the same tune over, like, I've been hearing this for the last year. So in some ways it's easier because it's more recognisable, right? Here I am again, having the same old conversation with myself, having the same old argument, right? So, what do I do? So Rabbeinu gives us lots of different eitzot for different situations. So there's not one size fits all. Sometimes I can argue with my eitzot and say, well, that's not true. We see it's not true. Right, I can show you evidence that that's not true. I see other people and it's different and whatever. Or Hashem can do, right? So sometimes a person can argue with the Yetzer. Sometimes there's just no arguing with him. Sometimes you just have to ignore it completely, right? And go and do something else because you just can't argue with it, right? It depends on time. And he also says sometimes you just need to dance. Just need to do something silly, right? Or just to dance, or just, right? And not even get into it, right? And to get yourself happy, right? And forget, I know that I'm being like bombarded with all these negative thoughts and emotions. So it depends on whatever's fitting for the time, right? It's a fight, it's a battle, right? We're here for the battle. So all of these strategies, all of these battle strategies are just here to help us with the battle, because that's what we're doing here. We're fighting. Fighting, we're looking for ways to stand up, to pick ourselves up off the floor, and to try not to be down on the floor in the first place, right? Okay, how are we doing? A couple of minutes. So, right, there's no situation in the world that Hashem can't fix. Moshe Aaron, like we saw with Chizkiyahu HaMelech, that when they told, the Navi came and, Yeshaya came and told him that, Yeshaya ben Amot, right, that's the Yeshaya, came and told him that he had a death sentence decreed against him. He said, ben Amot, he said, but say, stop your nevuah, stop your prophecy and get out. This is what I've received from my father, David Melech. Right? This is what Hizkiyahu said. He wasn't actually his father, but his father's father. Right? Afilu cherev chadam nuchet. Even if there's a sharp sword on a person's neck, it doesn't stop, doesn't prevent Hashem having mercy on him. Right? That's what Hizkiyahu said when the prophet came. Right, not just the Yetzirah that says, you're finished, you're a loser, forget it. Right? The prophet of Hashem comes in and says, you're finished, you're out here, right? Hizkiyahu said, get out! I'm not interested. Hashem can change anything at any time. Hashem is full of mercy. Even if there's a nevuah that says that this person's gonna, right? It's not. Right, and that's a nevuah. We don't have a nevuah that said, that you and so and so, right? No nevuah. I don't know if you had any nevuah recently, but mostly we don't have nevuah now that tells us that our situation is completely finished, right? We have just the Yetzirah. So Kal Vachomer, we should know that if Hizkiyahu kicked out the prophet, said forget it, so we can kick out the Yetzirah too and say, I hear Yetzirah very nice. I hear your wonderful arguments. You're an excellent lawyer, and you should do very well as a lawyer, but this is what I understand from my teachers. My teachers tell me that Hashem is merciful. Zil, finished, go away. Bezrat Hashem, we should always be strong against our Yetzirah, and then Hashem should always give us the eitzot that help us get out of the grips of the Yetzirah.
Okay. Which what happened? There's an example somewhat to it. What happened was in France on Shishi Shabbat, where those two mechablim took hostages in a supermarket, kosher supermarket. Mm-hmm. They didn't find all the hostages because it was a Muslim supermarket worker who hid a good number of hostages inside the supermarket refrigerator in the basement. Mm-hmm. He turned off the motor, turned off the everything that would seem in there, hid them in there. They were safe until the police got rid of them and were able to get out.
Yeah, Muslim did that. Muslim worker did that.
Yeah. But he hit him. He heard what was going on. I mean, get in. Whoever he was out to get in there, closed the door. And that's why there was there had been over a dozen people in the supermarket. 18, 19. that there were about four or five hostages, right? Seven hostages. You know, where were the rest? The rest were hiding in the refrigerator. Achem Chadas, sharp sword. Yeah. Kalashnikov sword with it.